And so we pray, loving Father, thank you that because of Jesus, you forgive us our sins and declare us to be not guilty in your sight. Thank you that you welcome us as sons and daughters through faith in him. Please change us to be the people you have saved us to be, becoming more and more like Jesus. And as we turn to your word now, remind us of the good news of the gospel and embolden us to proclaim that good news to a lost and needy world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 26.
It's Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Well, good news is for sharing. We've had wonderful news this week. The safe arrival of Elizabeth Grace Davis. And if you haven't seen a photo yet, here she is. Isn't she sweet? And everyone's talking about her. Have you heard the news? Fiona's had a baby on Tuesday. £6.15. She's gorgeous. Everything's fine. Good news is for sharing. And as we've studied the book of Acts together over the last few weeks, we've been reminded that God has good news that he wants to share with the whole world. It's the good news that the way to heaven is open through faith in the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. And with the greatest respect to baby Beth, it's the best news anyone can ever hear. And we've read the plan for getting that good news out there into the world. It was in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Amazingly, God's plan is to use ordinary people like you and me to take his good news to the world, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Well, last week we read how God had used Philip to proclaim the good news to a whole city in Samaria. And this week, in contrast, we read how God used Philip again, but this time to share the good news with just one man. Luke showing us how God can use simple conversations to spread the good news about Jesus. Now, having a conversation about Jesus is something we can all do. And the first thing we see in this passage is how God makes the opportunities for us to do so. Please look down at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Well, we can't miss the signs of God's hand at work, can we? And firstly, God sends an angel to Philip. That's pretty obvious. We can't miss that one. And the angel sends Philip on a journey. He's told to go down to the desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza, and from where it continues down to Egypt and the African continent. That's a strange place to go to do evangelism. Philip's just been in a place of great evangelistic success. And he's just been in a city in Samaria where he's preached the gospel to hundreds of people with apparently huge success. It seems as though the whole city has turned to Christ. But now he's sent to a dusty desert road in the middle of nowhere. It seems like a very strange place to continue his work. But then we're told in verse 27 that he started out and on his way met an Ethiopian eunuch. We don't really get the surprise, the sense of surprise in the NIV. In the original language, it says something more like this. He started out, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch. We're meant to be sensing that this isn't just a coincidence. It's God's hand at work, orchestrating things. Well, the man Philip meets is a black African. Ethiopia in those times doesn't correspond to modern day Ethiopia. It was part of what's now called Sudan. So we might say that he was Sudanese. And where he's from is important because he comes from the edge of the known world at that time. He's from the far reaches of the Roman Empire, a place that could legitimately be described as the ends of the earth. Remember chapter 1 verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, last week we saw the gospel going to Judea and Samaria. If you remember, the Samaritans were like half Jews and half Gentiles. So the gospel was on its way. And here, God is again opening the way for the gospel to spread out further and further from Jerusalem. We're not told whether this man was Jewish by descent or a Gentile, but he was certainly a God-fearing man. He was devoted to the God of Israel. We're told that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was a pilgrim to one of the annual Jewish festivals. But we're also told that he was a eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake. It wasn't unusual in those days for court officials such as this man, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, to be castrated. I'm not sure what George Osborne would make of that. But again, that detail's important because under Jewish law, emasculated men were denied access to the temple. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. It was to teach Israel that imperfect human beings cannot wander into the presence of a perfect God. So the Ethiopian is devoted to the God of Israel, but not allowed to participate fully in the religious life of Israel. Here's an example of someone on the fringe of Jewish life. So we're meant to see here how God is opening the way for the gospel to go out from Jerusalem to those, firstly, on the edge of Judaism, and then on to the Gentile world. And the point is that this is all at God's initiative. He's the one who's instigating it. And that's made clear to us again in verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. We're not told whether Philip heard a voice address him or whether it was an inner prompting. But the point is that all this is happening at God's instigation. Well, Philip goes to the chariot, and what do you know? He hears the Ethiopian reading the Hebrew scriptures. People read aloud in those days rather than silently as we do now. And not only is the Ethiopian reading from the book of Isaiah, we discover later that he's reading from chapter 53 of Isaiah, a chapter that famously points to Jesus. Well, could all this be a coincidence? Well, of course not. We know better than that. This is God's hand at work. And not only is God at work engineering this opportunity for Philip to share the good news of Jesus, it seems that God has also been at work preparing this Ethiopian man in advance for this encounter. And that's suggested at least in verse 31. Philip asks the man whether he understands what he's reading, and he says, verse 31, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? And he invites Philip to come up and sit with him. It's unusual modesty, particularly for a high-ranking court official, the Chancellor of the Exchequer. He appears humble and teachable. Well, surely we're meant to see a man prepared in advance by God to hear and receive the good news of his Son, Jesus Christ. There are so many encouragements for us in these verses. God's intention is that people everywhere hear the good news of his Son, and he's at work in his world, engineering the opportunities for that to happen. Now, every day, in homes and offices, in schools and colleges, on buses and building sites, wherever we may be, even in the most unusual places, he's opening opportunities for people to hear the gospel. And more than that, he's at work in his world, preparing people in advance to hear the gospel and receive it with joy. Well, do you and I believe that? See, the danger is that we get so used to people mocking and rejecting the gospel that we get cynical. Now, we can start to think that no one wants to hear the good news about Jesus, let alone start following him. Now, we can think that our attempts to tell people the good news are only ever going to fall on deaf ears, and that there's no point even trying. And sometimes they will fall on deaf ears. But this story of Philip and the Ethiopian should encourage us that God is passionate about people hearing the gospel. And we've seen lots of passion this week, haven't we? We've seen passion over Brexit and thousands of people marching in London yesterday. And we've seen passion over the dismal performance of the England football team at the European Championships. And we've seen passion over the brilliant performance of the Wales football team. It's been a lot of passion this week. And God is passionate. What he's most passionate about is people everywhere, hearing the good news of his son, Jesus Christ. The evangelism isn't an idea that the church made up. It's God's idea. Now, he's passionate about the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Now, he's at work in the world creating opportunities for that to happen, for you and me to tell people about Jesus. And as he creates those opportunities, he's going before us, preparing people's hearts to respond to the good news with faith. Do you believe that? Are you praying for that? And are you taking the opportunities you have when God brings them your way? That's what Philip did. And it's what God wants us to do. Our second heading. Please look down at verse 32. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Isaiah 53 is a remarkable passage of scripture, and the fact that the Ethiopian is reading it is a gift to Philip. On a long, slow journey, we can be in little doubt that the Ethiopian had read more than just these six lines. And no doubt Philip used the whole of Isaiah 53 to speak to him of Jesus. Now, Isaiah speaks of a man whom he calls the servant in chapter 53. He's a man who is despised and rejected, who suffers willingly and unjustly for the sins of others. He is punished for what his people have done wrong and gives his life as an offering for sin. Yet his sufferings bring peace and healing. And after he has suffered, he sees the light of life and is satisfied. Well, we might ask who the prophet's speaking of here, because there is no one else in history apart from Jesus of Nazareth to whom these words can be truly applied. No one else comes close to fulfilling the words in Isaiah. And Jesus fulfills them perfectly. Well, no doubt Philip explained that to the Ethiopian and told him how Jesus had willingly laid down his life at the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of his people. And perhaps even took him forward a few chapters and to these verses in Isaiah 56, verses 3 to 5. "Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' And let no eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree.' For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever." See, that's the good news of the cross. That those who were once shut out and excluded are now welcomed forever into the people of God through faith in Jesus. It's the news that people need to hear and that God wants us to explain. And people like the Ethiopian need someone to explain to them what the good news is. And a great place to start is to do what Philip did. and to listen to their questions. Let them tell you what they don't understand and listen to their questions. And then as you answer, tell them about Jesus. And I take it that Philip didn't only explain who Jesus is. He also explained to the Ethiopian that he should respond to the good news of Jesus by putting his faith in Jesus. And that's why we get verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. The Ethiopian eunuch responds to the good news by putting his faith in Jesus, and his baptism is an outward sign of the washing away of his sins and of his baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, this black African from outside Israel, who was kept out of the temple, has now taken his place among the people of God. And we're told in verse 39 that he went on his way rejoicing. It's a significant episode in the advance of the gospel. Now, of course, it isn't always that easy to lead people to faith. We know that sharing the good news of Jesus is a process. People are somewhere on a line from knowing nothing about Jesus to being on the brink of putting their faith in Jesus. And we're surrounded by people on all points of that line. Not every conversation will turn out like this one. Nonetheless, God wants us to take the opportunities he provides to tell others about Jesus and to help them move along that line. And then we trust him with the rest. Now, even if our contribution seems insignificant, and even if we never know ourselves how it turns out, well, not this side of heaven anyway. And that's how the passage ends. Now, we're not told any more about this Ethiopian convert. We're not told who else he leads to Christ, or what impact he has on his country when he returns home. They're questions we'd love to know the answers to, but we're not told. Instead, we're told what happened to Philip. Now, his work is done on the desert road, and God has more work for him to do elsewhere. So we're told in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, we're not told exactly how that worked. Perhaps it was miraculous, or perhaps Luke's just describing the forceful direction of the Holy Spirit and Philip's willing obedience as he moves on. But either way, the point is that God was going to provide more opportunities for Philip to share the good news of Jesus, and that Philip was going to take them. Well, what about you and me? God has good news that he wants people everywhere to hear, and he wants you and me to tell them. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, whether it's just a few weeks or for many years. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. You don't need to be able to speak to crowds of people. In fact, you don't need to be a public speaker at all. You just need to be willing to have a conversation about Jesus and tell people the good news. It's something that each one of us here can do. Good news is for sharing. God will make the opportunities. You and I just need to take them. So who might God be sending you to this week? Will you be like Philip? Will you go? And like Philip, will you speak about Jesus? Good news is for sharing. And if you're not yet a Christian, can I ask you a question? Because I think there's a challenge in these verses for you too. So here's the question. Will you be like the Ethiopian? He was an educated and wealthy man. He was a man of standing, a court official. And yet he approached God's word, the Bible, with humility. He acknowledged the limits of his understanding. He was a genuine seeker. He had questions, and he asked them. Will you do the same? Will you ask questions about Jesus and find out more? You could ask the person you're sitting next to. You could come and ask me after the service. I'd be delighted to speak with you. You could use one of our welcome slips and pop your question down on there. Or you could come along to a course we run throughout the year called Christianity Explored. We run it to give people the opportunity to do exactly that, to ask questions about Jesus and to find the answers. So please, don't put Jesus in the in tray. Don't put him off until another day. The news about Jesus is the best news you will ever hear. If it doesn't seem like that, you can be sure that you haven't understood it yet. Please do come and ask. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel. And thank you that in your kindness, you use ordinary people like us to take that good news to the ends of the earth. Please give us opportunities to talk about Jesus. Please give us the words to say. And please use us to build the kingdom of your Son. We ask it in his name. Amen.